June of 2000, which was what, 21 years ago. June of 2000, 21 years ago, I preached my first message. Some of you in this room were there that day. And you've heard me preach over and over and over and over again. But that June, back in 2000, was the first time I ever stood and preached a message in front of a group of people. It was very nerve-wracking, to say the least. It has gotten a little less nerve-wracking. If that was a 10, anymore, it's about an 8.5 to a 9 to get up and preach a message in front of people. I can remember just 2 weeks prior to that, I had graduated college. Now, I was 35 years old. I got a little later start going to college because I got a little later start in my faith journey with God. So in that May of that same year of 2000, I graduated Bible college. And I can remember, even though I had not preached any in Bible college, I had taken some teaching courses, but I never took a preaching course. I didn't have your normal pastoral track because that's not the track I thought I was going to be on. But I can remember at my commencement, I can remember a guy standing up. Haddon Robinson is the guy's name. Now, he has been passed for 3 or 4 years now, but he was a professor of homiletics at Dallas Theological Seminary. Homiletics is just the art of preaching. And he was talking to the graduating class, and he was challenging us, and I heard his words. And I wanted everything that he had, even though he was a commencement speaker. I figured I wanted it. That was the last dime's worth of things I was going to get for college. And I wanted what he was saying. And I can remember he said stuff like this: expository preaching is the communication of biblical concept derived from and transmitted through a historical and grammatical and literary study of the of a passage in its context, which the Holy Spirit first applies to the personality, to the personality and the experience of the preacher, then through the preacher into the hearer. I can remember him challenging those that'll be teaching the Word of God. Let it work in you before you think it'll work through you. And I've grabbed on to his words over and over, never had him for a professor. One 30-minute speech at my commencement, and I've grabbed on to them. God, if this is not working in me, how can it work through me? I also remember that night he come close to the conclusion of his message for the graduating class of 2000, and he said this: a mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew. I know what that means. I don't know if I knew what it meant that day. I know what it means now. So just so you know, here's the first picture. That's what I desire. I desire a bright, sunny day. But the problem is, sometimes I get this. But my goal today is at least this. Maybe some clouds in the sky, but may the sun burn through. So here we are, the forecast for today's message. Hopefully it's sunny, even though it might be partly cloudy, but not foggy. I don't want this to be foggy. I do believe that this has worked in me before it can work through me. And I do believe that God has done that in my life, even this past week, with us revisiting this passage and allowing it to minister to me, allowing it to challenge me, allowing it to go down deep in me, and then narrowing everything that God has done in my life through this passage, narrowing it down to 30 or 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. One of the greatest challenges, and that's why we have homework. Because I take all the scriptures that I couldn't fit in the message and I put them in the homework. so that you can preach the message over and over every day of this week. I do believe that God has done a work in me. I do believe, and I remember Haddon Robinson's challenge to me, that let it work in you. And I do believe that if it's a mist in the pulpit, it can be a fog in the pew. So here we go. Sunny, with a few clouds maybe, but here we go. We're going to 1 Corinthians for a season this morning. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 of chapter 10. And Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he's saying this, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all witnessed and experienced the same thing that God did for them. They all were part of the sea crossing. They were all part of the freedom from Egypt. They were all part of that. They were all eyewitnesses to the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They were all witnesses to what God had done. They were all witnesses to the power of God. They were all witnesses to how much God loved them. They were all witnesses." He said, "I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that all our forefathers in that moment saw God work and saw Him in a powerful way. This was not a private moment with one guy and God. This is a very public display of what God could do in a nation's life." And he continues in verse 3 and 4. He says, "They all ate from the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That rock was Christ. They all experienced God's power. They all experienced God's provision. They all experienced God's power, His protection into their life." But look what he starts number 5, verse 5 with. "Nevertheless," one of the most heart-wrenching verses, I think, of all Scripture. "Nevertheless, even though they experienced all this with God, even though they saw the power of God, even though they saw His freedom come to their life and rescued them from slavery, even though that He fed them in the wilderness, even though the rock that was referred to as Jesus Christ was following them along the way and pouring water out of it, even though they all experienced that, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them." That's a tragic verse. That's a verse I do not want on my tombstone. That's a verse that I don't want to let down. And that's a verse I don't think has to apply to our life, but it's our choice. Said, "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert." They did not, listen, New Lifers, they did not arrive at where God wanted them to be in their life. Are you with me this morning? Are we a little foggy this morning? May the wind come in and blow the fog away. May the sun come out. God said, I had more for them in this life. I had more for them in this life. I wanted them to go further down the road than they went. I wanted them to go further. I wanted them to experience me more. But they died in the desert. I've entitled today's message, "Don't Die in the Desert." We're not talking about their salvation. We're not talking about them not becoming children of God because they did this. That was signed, sealed, delivered in our life. That Jesus paid for that. Jesus did that. He is not going to relinquish anything that He's done. And no matter how you leave this earth, and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, boom, you're in the presence of God. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about your eternal life with Christ, this intimate relationship that takes you into the promise heaven that God has laid out for us. We're talking about the here and the now. We're talking about walking out our faith here and now. And He said, "I did all this among them. But nevertheless, They didn't make it to the place where I wanted. They didn't accomplish what I wanted. They didn't experience all of me that I wanted to give them in the here and the now. We're not talking to lost people of the world. We're talking about the people of God here. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about God's chosen people. And he said, I wanted more for you. I wanted you to go further down the road. I wanted you to accomplish more. I wanted you to have more of my will dispensed into your life. I wanted to pour out more blessing. I wanted to give you more influence. I want you to know more about the authority that you have in Christ on this earth. I wanted you to know more. I wanted you to have more. But they died in the desert. Dying in the desert was not God's will for them. Verse 6 says this, now these things occur as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Just so you know, it's not only about Israel. It's about us. He said, I'm writing this not as a history lesson about Israel. I'm writing this because God has motivated me and God has inspired me right now to use that as an example and to tell you he's the same God that's walking among you, that's walked among them. He's the same God, and he's got more for you. Don't fall off the track with God. Walk it out, he said. Walk it out, because God does not want you to die in the desert. Are you with me this morning? Push the button, please. Dying in the desert is not God's will for me. Say that in your own heart. Dying in the desert is not God's will for me. It's not. It is not God's will. It was not God's will for them, and it's not God's will for us. He said, I got more for you. I'm going to use those individuals to let you know that I am serious about you walking out your faith. And I am serious about what you can have a hold of in the here and the now. You're not just waiting for glory. You're in it. I had somebody tell me this week, oh, that's too much. I said, we're talking about the kingdom of God. There ain't no too much in the kingdom of God. I don't care what you're talking about. I don't care if you're talking about wisdom or finances. I don't care if you're talking about authority or you're talking about stamina. There is not too much in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is full of everything that you and I need. And God wants to pour it out into our life. And God wants to do it. He said, but, ow, you're dying in the desert. I don't want you to die in the desert. That's not my will for your life. So don't fall into the evil paths that they took. And then he starts to list some of those evil paths that they took. And in verse 7, he says, oh, don't be an idolater. Oh, don't think there's something else that takes the precedence of me in your life. Don't put your money ahead of me, because your money's never going to get you there. You're going to die in the desert with your money. Oh, you might die with a lot of it. But you're going to die in the desert. Don't let idolatry get in. Don't let something else start making the calls in your life. I want to make the calls in your life. Because when you start down the road letting somebody else or something else make the calls in your life, God says you're on your way to dying in the desert. And I don't want you to die in the desert. I got more for you than you can imagine. And then he goes on. He said, we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. I can do whatever I want. Certainly you can. God give you free will. But just so you know, some things lead you to the desert. Some lifestyles lead you to the desert. Some actions lead us to the desert. I can do this and walk out my faith with God. God says, you can't. It's going to lead you to the desert. Verse 9 says, we should not test the Lord as some of them did. You know what test the Lord means? I'm going to spend my life trying to prove God wrong. God says, you can do that because I give you free will, but I'm telling you right now, you spend a life trying to prove me wrong and you will end up in the desert. And that's not where I want you to be. That's not my plan for your life. You need to walk out your faith. I got more for you. I got more for you. I got more blessing. I got more authority. I got more healing for you. I want you to walk out your faith. But you're never going to do that trying to prove me wrong. We need a fire whistle. In Jesus' name, wherever they're going, God, I pray that you'd take them there. And Father, you would rescue whoever needs to be rescued. Father, if there's an accident on the road, I pray that you're protecting right now. You're freeing people from whatever situation there is. Father, I pray that it's an ambulance is needed because a mom's having a baby. And Father, just protect everybody going. Protect those on the other end. In Jesus' name, amen. And he says this in verse 10. He says this, and do not grumble. And do not grumble as some of them did. I love it when the ball lumps together idolatry and sexual immorality and just flat out complaining. You know what complaining does? Complaining sucks the life out of your Thanksgiving pouch in your life. It fills the same void in your soul. Either you're Thanksgiving or you're complaining and grumbling. He said, will you stop? That complaining and that grumbling is going to take you to the desert. And my desire is not for you to die in the desert. My desire is that you will live. My desire is that you will live and know all that I have for you. And you're not going to do that with a spirit of discontentment and a continued complaining and arguing and whining. Look what he says in 11 and 12. These things happen to them as examples and were written down as what? As warnings for us. He's the same God. Oh yeah, that was Old Testament God. Let me give you a theology lesson. The Old Testament God and the New Testament God is the same God. And he says these things happen to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Exclamation point. And look what he says in verse 13. Oh, no temptation has seized you. I know we've heard this verse a lot, but it's intimately attached to the first 12 verses. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. You don't have to die in the desert. That's what he's saying. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up and under it and stay out of the desert. You know what their first immediate temptation that they give into? According to this passage, they were tempted to forget what God had done in their life. They forgot God. The temptations of this world got them busy, got them thinking about something else, got them doing something else, and they forgot God. They forgot what God had done in their life. They forgot the cloud. And they forgot the passing through the sea, push the button. They forgot passing through the sea. They forgot the spiritual food they ate. They forgot it. They forgot the spiritual drink that they drank, and they forgot the spiritual rock that accompanied them over and over and over. They forgot what God had done and who God was. And all of a sudden, other things start to come into their life, and it starts to lead them toward the desert. And God, I hear that, oh, they died in the desert, and I hear God's heart crying out, that's not what I wanted, that's not what I want for you. You can't forget what I've already done in your life. You can't forget the sea. You can't forget the spiritual food. You can't forget what I've done. You can't forget who I am. I know you're going to be tempted, and you're going to get busy, and you're going to forget that I am God, and I can do it. I've proven myself to you over and over and over and over again. You can't forget it, because you're going to need to remember it when you come up against some stuff in life. And the enemy will want to get into your heart and into your life, and he'll want you to forget everything that God has done. And I can make a whole list of people that have forgot and what they have forgot. I know that people have forgot God's protection. I know that people have forgot over the years, and I have forgot over the years, and I get myself in a jam because I forget God. Forget, fade, fall, die. Push the button. Forget, fade, fall, die. That's the passage. Or remember, recharge, reach, live. Just so you know, in the white's what God wants for us. Don't forget me, he said. Don't forget what I've already done in your life. Because when you don't forget and when you remember, oh, watch what I can do, and I can recharge you. And you know what else you're going to do? You're going to start reaching for new heights. And I'm going to take your ankles, and you're going to climb on those new heights. And you're going to live, because my desire is that you will not die in the desert. My desire is that you will live. Oh, God, help us. Allow me just to flip over to Ephesians just for a time as we conclude. I can say conclude because we're about halfway there. So we're about 51% done. Oh, God, help the clouds go away. Help the sun come out, because I need to know this. No more fog, no more mist in the pulpit, no more fog in the pew. God, we need to remember what God has done in our life. We need to remember so that we can face today. And I know I can face today because God is real today. And I will not go toward the desert. As I remember God and what he has done in my life, I will not trek toward the desert. I will stay in the path that God has for me. And he's talking Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints of Ephesus, to the church. And then he makes this whole list of things that God has done in their life. Do you think the church of Ephesus needed to remember? The faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 3, he says this. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God blessed me with every spiritual blessing, so I live, not die in the desert. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? Brother in Christ, I know that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing so that you can live. You are a child of the Most High God. Let him flood that into your memory today. Let him flood that into your memory today. I don't care if you're young or old. Let him tell you today, I have blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. And I poured it out on you. I don't care if you're 13. I don't care if you're 113. I don't care. He's poured it onto you, and he needs you to remember that. You and I talk about that on the phone. You need to remember and get it down deep in your soul, because you're going in this life and you're going through this life, and God's transforming you into a mighty man of God, and you're going to need to know that God has blessed you in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. Or you're going to the desert. God said, I blessed you. God blessed me with every spiritual blessing so I can live, not die in the desert. And he continues in this church of Ephesus, he's poured it out on them. You need to remember what God has done. The next verse says this. Push the button. I'm not going to my notes anymore. For he has chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Woo! Do you know, I don't know what you got into this morning. I don't know what you feel like this morning. But as a child of the Most High God, you know what you are. You stand holy before God. And God chose me to be holy and blameless so I can live, not die in the desert. You got to remember that. I need to remember that. We need to remember that. Or we're going to the desert. And God's got more for you than desert survival. Verse 5 says this, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, because he chose you, not because you're cool, because you ain't cool. Not because you could pay a good tithe, not because you could sing a good song, not because you could preach a good sermon, because he chose you and he chose me. Out of the dumps, he chose me. God is the major divine dumpster diver, I'm telling you right now. He doesn't find many people in good situations. He finds most of his people in a dumpster. I drove garbage truck for a while, one of my 19 jobs. It's really cool until you have to pick up the garbage. We picked up this one, and it was next to the Kaunaskia Valley Lake. And it was you hook into it, and you have to dump it. You know, you had to go out and hook the cable on the other end to dump it over. That's the kind it was. Just so you know, it was right next to the boat dock. And just so you know, not everybody kept their fish that they had on their boat all day long. And when you would go, and that dumpster was about a third full of fish, and it had been there since last week, I'm telling you what the dumpster smelled like. And that's where God got me from. Because he chose me. God adopted me so I could live, not die in the desert. God has freely given me grace so I can live, not die in the desert. See, I think the church of Ephesus is like the church of New Life. We need to remember these things. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with his riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I mean, I could go for an hour just on that verse. You know what God's done? God redeemed me so I could live, not so I could fall into an evil way and think I could do it on my own or become a complainer. God did not redeem us to be whiners and complainers. God redeemed us so we could live and not die in the desert. God forgives me, which I think is probably the most neglected action in the church today, is seeking forgiveness as believers. And God says, I am going to forgive you because I want you to live, and sin will drag you down, and sin will put you in the desert, and sin will drag your family into the desert, and sin will drag your marriage into the desert, and sin will drag your community into the desert. So forgive, let me forgive you so you can live and not die in the desert. God, help the sun come out, help the fog go away. God, help the clouds part. Let the sun shine on us today. We need this. I need this, God. The next verse says this. And he has made known the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment.
You know what he's doing there? So that you and I can live. Push the button. God made known his will to me so I can live and not die in the desert. See, I think we got a forgetting problem. Let me just say it this way. We got a forgetting sin, apparently. When we forget, sin opens up the door. And the sin will always take us to the desert. Moving to the next passage of Scripture, it says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the truth of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. God has given me the Holy Spirit. God has sealed me with the Holy Spirit so I could live, not so I could die in the desert. I wanted to stop there, but I had to go to verse chapter 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our transgressions. You know what that means? Even though you were in the dumpster with the fish. God made me alive so I could live, not die in the desert. God made you alive so you could live, not die in the desert. God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit so you could live, not die in the desert. God made me alive so I could live. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Just so you see that voice, I'm going to be butchered this afternoon. God raised me up and seated me with Christ. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that God has raised you up and seated you with Christ? Do you realize that? Do you realize that God has raised you up and seated you with Christ? You are seated with Christ right now. You're hanging out in the seat next to Jesus. And he did that so that I can live, not die in the desert. Let me end with this one today. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Dead people don't do good works. Desert people don't do good works. God said, God crafted me in Christ Jesus so I can live and dispense Him and experience Him and walk with Him in this world. Oh, someday I will close my eyes for the final time. I don't know when that is. It could be today. It could be 50 years from now. I had a great aunt that lived to be 107. I might not get out of here for a while. But until then, I do not want to live in the desert. Because I don't think God wants me to live in the desert. No temptation, New Life, has seized us that is not common to man. Everybody is tempted to forget what God has done. But God is faithful. Let Him remind us so that we can live, not die in the desert. Stand with me today. God, thank you for these moments together in Jesus' name. You've got more for us. You got more for me. You got more for the Halls. You got more for the Gunnets.
You got more for the Stearns. You got more for the Mervines. You got more. You got more. You got more. You got more for us. And Father, I think it hinges in this passage. It totally hinges on us remembering you. Because if we don't have you in our sights, God, we're going to have something else in our sights. And that something else is going to lead us down the wrong path. You've got more authority for us. You've got more healing for us. You've got more finances perhaps for us. You've got more blessing for us, God. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you. May I turn my eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, so that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Keep me mindful, God, that you're God, that you love me. Help me not forget the cloud. Help me not forget the fire. Help me not forget the spiritual food I've already eaten. Help me not forget how you've rescued me from the dumpster full of rotten fish. Help me not forget that I am crafted by you, God, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Help me not forget that you have blessed me in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing, because, God, I want to live. I don't want to die in the desert. Father, we ask these things in the matchless and marvelous and mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Have an amazing day.